See, we're just finishing up the meaning of the various words of Kriya Shema. I just wanted to focus tonight briefly on the last phrase, Hashem Echad. Of course, the expression of divine unity is one of the essences of the Shema. The Rambam explains in the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, of believing in the unity of Hashem, that is called by our Chachamim Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. At first glance, those are two different concepts. The idea of believing in divine unity and the idea of accepting the divine yoke are presumably, at first at least, they're two separate ideas. So why is it the Rambam links them together? So we commented on that briefly in the past. I want to elaborate on it now in terms of elaborating on what the exact meaning of what it means that when we say that Hashem is one. So on a simple plane, we mean that there is only one God. That's certainly a meaning, and it's certainly a true meaning. That unlike many of the religions of old, that believed in a multitude of deities, and with different flavors, some had the top deity that was over all the others, and some had the equivalent ones that used to war against each other. But the uniqueness of that Avraham Avinu originally brought to the world, based on his discovery of the fact that all the diverse forces in nature that led the ancients to come up with a variety of paganistic religions that believed in many different gods, that they were all reflections and multifaceted reflections of the same one power that expressed himself in different ways depending on the situation that called for it. And the expression of the Jew twice a day, Hashem Echad, highlights that no matter how Hashem Yisborach deals with us and how we perceive him, whether he's the God who sends the hurricane Katrina, or he's the God who sends a light, a pleasant breeze on a summer's day, it's all the same Ribbono Shel Olam, all according to his plan, and all according to his divine providence, according to his plan for creation and for the individuals that are affected by that event. That's what we mentioned last time. It's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is Midas HaRachamim, and Elokeinu is Midas HaDin, that it's all Hashem Echad. One and not two, that there are no multiple deities. Another plane of meaning, according to that idea though, that wouldn't exactly necessarily, well, I guess it would, to a certain extent, but we'll see even more later. If there's only one supreme power, so then we understand why the Rambam would tie that in to Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because it's clear that if there's a creator, and that is the person who brought us into existence, so it stands to reason that we owe loyalty to that and that being. If there's more than one being, then we owe loyalty to more than one being. So when we declare Hashem Echad, we're declaring that we only owe loyalty to the one and only creator and the one and only one who brought us into existence. That helps explain that connection between divine unity and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Because there is only one old to be Mekabel. On another sense, the Rambam in the Hilchos Yisori HaTorah elaborates that divine unity is on a different plane than anything else in the world when we speak about it in terms of what we mean by the fact that it's one. And that is in at least two ways, if not more. When we say that an individual is unique, that the individual is one, but that individual could be subdivided into parts, could subdivide into the brain, into the lungs, into the heart, into the arms, and so on. And then you could take each arm and subdivide it into cells, or even before that, muscles, and that into cells. And the cells you could subdivide into organelles. And then those you could divide into molecules, those you could divide into atoms, and then in more recent scientific discoveries, the atoms you could also split. And those subatomic particles you could split, and keep going. We speak about one cohesive unit of an organism that lives together, etc., but it's really not one in the absolute sense. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, with all of his perceived complexity, so that's what I believe the Rambam used this term, certainly others use it, that he's an achdus hapshuta, simple unity. That means there's no subdivisions to God. And even though by analogy we refer sometimes in the Chumash to the Yad Hashem and the Einei Hashem, but these are all analogies that are utilized in order to be able to comprehend how Hashem acts in the world in a way that we could relate to. So we use human terminology, but we realize that this does not ultimately reflect the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Hashem is an Achdus HaPshut, it is one unity, it is not subdivisible into parts. So that's another, perhaps deeper level of Hashem Echad, that He's one unified whole without any subdivisions to Him. Which in turn highlights the ultimate theme of what divine unity means. We speak about the fact that Hashem's main midah, so to speak, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the midah of Emes or the midah of Harachamim. But yet we know that Hashem oftentimes acts with midah Sadin. When you think about it on a deeper plane, those are two reflections of the same coin. If a person, if Hashem Yisborach brings about din b'rishoyim, He punishes them. So that ultimately is an expression of rachamim for the world. The world should be rid of the evildoers. If Hashem expresses midas adin to a tzaddik, that's also an expression of rachamim, because He wants the best for that tzaddik, and he should be punished, let's say, for the minority of sins in this world. So he should be able to merit eternal bliss in the next world without having to undergo any punishment. So the fact that Hashem is not subdivisible, I guess we would say, cannot be divided into parts, is a reflection of the fact that Hashem's essence and the way He relates to us is also, ultimately, on the deeper plane, also one unified plan. Hashem is Tov, He's all good, and it's not that sometimes He's good and sometimes He's bad, the Ra is also Tov. It's also Tov in disguise, even if we can't perceive it. So, on a very, the way that Raman puts it, like a philosophical concept, Hashem is not divisible into parts. But I think the way we could put that, the fact that Hashem is not divisible into parts is a reflection of the fact that ultimately Hashem's essence and how He relates to us is all part of one unified plane. And not like someone where sometimes He's in this mood and He'll be kind-hearted, then at another time He's in a different mood. Sometimes we utilize those terms. Hashem's angry, Hashem's happy. These are all human ways of trying to just attach a vocabulary to what way Hashem acts. But ultimately, this is all part of the same attitude, if you will, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all reflections of the fact that as Hashem, HaTov VeHaMeitiv. And whether He's punishing the Rishoyim or sometimes even punishing the Tzaddikim, that's all a reflection of the ultimate goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Midrashim put it, when Rishoyim are destroyed, it's Tov LaOlam. That's also Tov. Sometimes, and it's not so popular, because everyone likes to say that the popular press, that sometimes killing is automatically evil. Sometimes killing is the right thing to do. You have to wipe out the evildoers and just utterly destroy them. They have no place in this world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that we have to destroy all the seven nations, the seven Canaanite nations. Very hard for the modern mind to understand that. The Ribbono Shel Olam, He identifies evil. That's good, to destroy the evil. Just like no one's going to say that if you do surgery to remove a growth in the body, it's Nebuchadnezzar growth, right? It's how could you be so cruel? It's ridiculous. So that's evil to the body. So sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam identifies. He gives it over to human beings to destroy the evil sometimes, and He Himself does it Himself. That's considered Tov. That's not evil which is for a greater good. That's Tov. To get rid of the evil. So even the way we perceive Hashem sometimes in acting in a Ra way, Borei Ra, that ultimately is a reflection of that all that Achdus HaPshuta. Hashem is totally good. Now we get into the philosophy. But it's a very frightening philosophy, and it also is very eye-opening in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately what it means that we exist. You know, so the old joke goes that when I take attendance, I just started teaching in Shevach, so I try to rile up the freshies, you know. So is Sarah, whatever, Goldstein here? So she says, yes. I said, can you prove it? Ultimately, and the philosophers have written about this a lot, and can you really prove that you exist? So the answer is no, you can't really prove that you exist. You could say that, yes, I experience pain when I pinch myself and I think, etc., but there's no way of proving that you're not a dream in some greater being's mind, or that it's all some other mirage. There's no ultimate way to prove that you exist. So that just highlights a very deep concept that the Rambam discusses very briefly in the Mishnah Torah, and the way he expressed it, especially as expanded upon by the Abarbanel, that The Rambam meant that this was part of what it means to believe in Hashem. So, according to this, that idea, at least according to Shittas Rambam, I don't know if others might disagree with this, not the notion, but that maybe it's not part of the Mitzvah of Emunah. According to the way it's presented by the Rambam, this is part of the basic Mitzvah of Emunah, at least to know this on a simple plane, if not on the deeper plane, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that is as follows. The Torah says in Parashat Vaschanan, and we say it when we take out the Torah, Ein kemocha lekim Hashem, ekim asecha, etc. Ata reif ladat ki Hashem, actually the Sfarim say this, Nusach Sfar. Ata reif ladat ki Hashem lekim v'shmayim alar tachas einot. You have been shown that Hashem is one and the heavens above and the earth below. There is nothing besides Him. So normally we translate that pasuk as there are no other gods. Ein od Elokim besides Hashem. But the way the Rambam understands that pasuk is Ein od, meaning there's nothing besides Hashem. Ein od milvado. Absolutely nothing besides Hashem. Now of course that's contradicted at first glance by reality. There are tables and chairs and there are people and there are butterflies and bacteria and planets and stars. So what do you mean, ain od milvado, in a literal sense? So the Rambam explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by definition the only, what they call in philosophical terms, he's the only necessary existence. He's the only thing that has to exist. Or, in a different plane, he's the only independent existence. Only Hashem exists, not dependent on any other being. Human beings, and the stars and the planets and all the other billions of cells and atoms in the world, those are all dependent existences, meaning that there's nothing fundamental about their existing. And that's, when you think about it, it's very scary, but it makes perfect sense, however nonsensical it is. And that is the following. We take it for granted that the wind blows, that the stars exist, and the sun rises, but there's nothing essential about the laws of nature that would generate the fact that any of these things should exist. All the laws of nature do is that they say, well, it happened yesterday, so mistakes could happen tomorrow, but there's no way to prove that. There's nothing fundamental about any molecule in the world that it should exist. So, our religion teaches us that the only necessary existence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, a corollary of that is that things only exist not just because Hashem created them, but because He continues to will them into existence. And if any second, so to speak, Hashem would blink His eyes, that's it, the whole world goes back to tohu vavohu. In other words, disarray, chaos, or even worse, absolutely nothing is the natural order. And recently science is coming to discover that, where things tend toward, I think they call it entropy. Unless there's some energy constantly being injected to make the electrons revolve around the protons and so on and so forth, you know, as they point out, and they have this whole theory that eventually everything's just going to be, you know, just floating energy, right? Everything just goes into disarray unless you have constant renewal and constant renewal. So where science stops and religion picks in is that the ultimate source of that renewal of the energy is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we mean that the Rambam explains that literally, ein od milvado, there is no... Now the Rambam uses the term emes, but I think in English it should be translated in this context as real. That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly real. Everybody else, yes, they're real because HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed them into existence. But they can't be called truly real, because truly real means a being that doesn't need anything else to exist. A muscle, you know, the Energizer Bunny. So does the Energizer Bunny really move? Well, it's dependent on a battery, so it doesn't really move. Take away the battery and there's no Energizer Bunny anymore. Of course, you know, it doesn't move. The Energizer Bunny will still exist, but it's not going to move. So we're not used to thinking of ourselves as operating on that kind of batteries. We just think of ourselves just existing. But that's not true. We all operate on batteries, and that's the batteries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it constantly wills us into existence. You can't even say it's the Neshama. Because if not for the fact that Hashem injects the neshama with a continued existence, then it wouldn't exist either. So in that sense, and the Rambam includes all of this in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Many point out that that's the word itself. The name of Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, which is a shorthand of Hoya Hova V'Yiya. Right? It contains all the letters. Did exist, does exist, will exist. It's not just a statement of the fact that Hashem is timeless. It's a statement of the fact that Hashem is, with a capital E, existence. That's the basic definition of God. He is existence. It's a whole different way of looking at life. So here I am, I'm about to be tempted. Am I going to do the Savera or not to do the Savera? So if I begin to think a little more deeply, the fact that, but wait a second, I only exist as a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed me into existence last second, this second, next second. And here I am, I'm going to rebel against the one who's continuing to allow me to exist. So it's the nature of the divine will that he hides all of this from reality. And unless you begin to think about it, even though it makes perfect sense, there's absolutely no reason the sun should exist. There's no reason we should. There must be some being that keeps injecting us with meaning. But if we stop to think about it, it helps me makabel al malchus shemayim in a much easier way. Even though it's a deep philosophical truth, but it also is a very down-to-earth truth. That there's only one thing in the world that wills us into existence. So of course we have to be loyal to that being. Our whole existence is dependent on him. And that's what the Reb Chaim Volozhin and the Nefesh HaChaim and Baal HaTanya in the Tanya, although they were at loggerheads to some extent in terms of the Ashkaf HaSolem, but they pretty much wrote much of the same thing, because it's all the same Torah. So they just expanded on that theme of the Rambam, and in each in their own way, in pointing out that essential truth. And they even point out a Masorah from the Vilna Gaon, that if one truly believes in that, at any given point in their life, and contemplates it, so that's a way to be able to be saved from any of the vicissitudes of nature, or any natural tragedies, or even human tragedies, if someone tries to harm you. That if one contemplates Ein Od Milvado with 100% emunah, there's nothing besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is just His will. So that's a way of connecting to Hashem directly, and that leads to immense divine protection. And there are many, many stories, starting with Reb Chaim Volozhin, I believe, himself, and the Bris Gerov, and the soldiers in Tzahal, who utilized this technique in order to be able to be saved from a variety of very, very extreme circumstances where B'nais, they just were able to survive, based on contemplating this idea of Ein Od Milvado. So once in a while, it's hard to think about this all the time, but once in a while when contemplating the Shema, that deeper meaning of Hashem Echad is oftentimes very helpful to redirect our focus in the world in terms of realizing that we are ultimately always dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every second of our existence. And it only behooves us to be loyal to that being. Rabbi Lamb from YU put out a kontris on the Shema, a little volume of collected commentaries on the Shema. And he has an interesting pshat where he suggests that maybe that's why we cover our eyes in the Shema. The simple meaning why we cover our eyes is concentration. But he suggests that maybe we cover our eyes because two times a day we highlight that truth, that Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing besides him. It's all, I wouldn't call it a dream, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed us into existence. But it's all less real than the ultimately real one. And the privilege that we have, especially as B'nai Yisrael, of being chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring his godliness to the entire world, realizing how unique HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in terms of our relationship to him, all the more highlights our obligations toward him and a sense of privilege of Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu that it is to serve him. I think with this we'll conclude the sessions on the Shema, and Bez Hashem on Thursday we'll start the discussion of the Shema and Esri.